Hello there, my name's Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. Now, if you know anything about technology, you've probably at some point heard the term Moore's Law. What is it? Is it dead? And what does it tell us about the future? Well, if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so when we're talking about Moore's Law, we're talking about Gordon Moore, who was the co-founder of Intel. And in 1965, he made some observations about the new business he was in, which was building chips, integrated circuits, and the size of those chips, the density of the transistors on those chips, and so on. So here is what he wrote in an article for Electronics in April 19, 1965. The complexity for minimum component costs has increased at a rate of roughly a factor of 2 per year. Certainly, over the short term, this rate can be expected to continue, if not increase. Over the longer term, the rate of increase is a bit more uncertain, although there is no reason to believe it will not remain constant for at least 10 years. So he was going from 1965 through to 1975. Now, basically, if you read Intel's page on Moore's Law, they have a little mini website, Over 50 Years of Moore's Law. What he basically said was Moore extrapolated that computing would dramatically increase in power, they mean performance there, and decrease in relative cost at an exponential pace. And of course, this was at the era of the beginning of integrated circuits. So what Gordon Moore was saying, in his own words, integrated circuit chips are the road to less expensive electronics. And that is absolutely true. And if we look at the trend over the years, of course, the performance has gone up a long, long way, and the prices have come down. In fact, today's processors are at least, probably much more now, 3,500 times faster than the original Intel 4004 microprocessor, 90,000 times more efficient, and the price per transistor is 60,000 times lower. So we can see that integrated circuits have provided a way of lowering the costs and increasing the performance of consumer electronics. So if we make that into a more of a modern interpretation, of course, here we are in 2020, looking back at something he wrote in 1965, Moore's Law is an observation and a prediction that the number of transistors in an integrated circuit doubles about every 2 years. Now, it's one thing to notice here, we talk about Moore's Law. This is more in the sense of kind of, you know, Murphy's Law. It's not a law of physics. You can't break Moore's Law like you're trying to break the law of gravity or break the speed of light. We're not talking about trying to break a law of physics. Moore's Law is an observation and a prediction, a projection of a historical trend into the future. It's not a law of physics. It's an observation based on experience. So when you hear about people saying Moore's Law is dead, they're not saying that something has happened in science that means that this fundamental understanding of the way electronics works or the way, you know, integrated circuits works is broken because it's died now. This is actually just about a trend of how we are using chips, silicon chips, how we're using transistors in those, and how we're doubling the number of chips over the years. Okay, so here we have a graph showing the number of transistors inside an integrated circuit, starting back in the 1970s, the Intel 4004, and then clearly there is a direction of travel. And this is a logarithmic graph. Notice how the scale changes here on the left. By putting it in a logarithmic scale, we can see this clear growth here, right up to the kind of modern day processors up here. And I'm sure that if we plotted the very, very most modern ones, it would go up even higher. So there is a clear trend that overall, historically, from the 1970s right through to the 2018, 2020, that we can see this growth of the number of transistors. So, of course, we can't talk about Moore's Law without also mentioning, at least in passing, Denard scaling. So Robert H. Denard wrote a paper in 1974. He said, if transistor dimensions are scaled by minus 30%, which is 0.7. So, of course, remember, we're dealing with X and Y axis. So 0.7 times 0.7 is 0.5. So you get an area reduction of 50%. Remember this 0.7, we're going to talk about this in a minute. Okay, then the circuit delays are down by 30%, the frequency can go up by 40%, and the voltage is reduced by 30%, reducing energy by 65%, and the power at 1.4 times the frequency by 50%. What does all that mean? That means, therefore, in every technology generation, if the transistor density doubles, the circuit becomes 40% faster and the power consumption with twice the number of transistors stays the same. So this is really, really important. So as we've been able to generate smaller and smaller transistors and put more and more transistors on an integrated circuit, what actually happens is they get faster, but the power consumption stays the same. And so that was an absolute brilliant thing, that when you couple that with Moore's law, we see that we can keep building faster and faster processors, faster and faster chips with more and more transistors in them, and actually with the power doesn't go up, and each generation they get faster. But the problem is, this got broken from about 2006 onwards. You know, smartphones, laptops, PCs even, you know, we've got 3 gigahertz. Some of them might turbo boost to 4 gigahertz or whatever the latest bit of fashion is. But we haven't, once we kind of got to that plateau of around 3 gigahertz, we haven't just kept on rocketing up. And I remember when 1 gigahertz came out, and then suddenly it was 1.2 gigahertz and then 1.4 gigahertz. And it just kept on growing and growing and growing. That's why we don't have 8 gigahertz processors, because there is a limit to this Denard scaling. However, when we do increase the density, we still benefit from the lower power consumption. The transistors themselves fit switch faster because they are smaller transistors, and of course we are able to use the extra transistors to do more things in logic, branch predictors and caching and all this kind of stuff that we have nowadays. So we're still benefiting from some of these, but it's not as it was from when Denard wrote it in 1974. So if we look at an even broader definition of Moore's law, what we can say is, particularly because if you talk about it in the context of Denard, performance doubles every year. It's not only just about the transistors doubling, we're talking about performance doubling every 2 years. But the question is, how are we delivering that performance? When we were in the Denard scaling phase, we would just keep upping the clock frequency, and that would allow us to keep bringing better and better chips out that were running at faster and faster clock speeds. However, as I mentioned, we've kind of plateaued there. And then, of course, there are better and better microarchitectures, so they do more instructions per cycle. We've got things like instruction level parallelism. We've got superscalar architectures, long pipelines, all this kind of stuff, which you'll see when I talk about new chips when they come out, for example, when the Cortex A78 came out or whatever like that. And then, of course, we're also talking about multiprocessing. So we're talking about multiple cores. We're talking about big and little cores. You know, the average smartphone has 8 cores in it. Some of these server processors, 32 cores, 64 cores. I've got a video here about an 80-core processor. And maybe something else, maybe some other thing in the future that will allow us to keep delivering the performance that not necessarily related to these earlier technologies of clock frequency and then, you know, instructions per cycle and so on. So who knows what the future holds in terms of being able to deliver greater performance and while we're increasing the transistor density. Now, of course, the question is, has Moore's law died? And Moore's law has died many times, in the sense that many people have predicted over time that in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, Moore's law is going to end. And it's quite funny, in doing a bit of research for this video, I've been reading some old forum posts from about 10 years ago. People were saying, we'll never go past 10 nanometers. Of course, this was at the time when maybe it was a much, much higher nanometer, you know, 90 nanometers or whatever in the desktop or whatever they were using. It's like, no, we'll never go past 10. That's science fiction. That can never happen. And all by then, we'll be using quantum computers. And of course, there'll be flying cars and transporter beams. And, you know, to predict these things is a dangerous thing to do, because you never know what's going to happen in 10 nanometers until you've done 14 nanometers. Because when you get to the next stage, and along the way you've invented a whole load of new technology, and there's lots of technology that goes into these things, at each stage it kind of builds on, stands on the shoulders of the giants that went before. And I like this particular quote, Robert Colwell, the director of Microsystem Technology Office at DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, said in 2013, for the Defense Department, the year 2020 and 7 nanometers are the last process technology. No, that's how their planning was going. We can't see anything beyond 7 nanometers. And yet here we are expecting, within just a few months, 5 nanometer smartphones, laptops, PCs and so on to all come out. So it's really, you shouldn't predict the end of Moore's Law because you just don't know what's round the corner. Now, we talked a bit about density. I just want to go through these as we've been talking about 90 nanometers and 65 nanometers. And oh, that's in meters there. I need to, sorry, it's a typo there. It should be nanometers. Okay, so what if you look at these numbers, they look almost random. 90 to 65, or why not 90 to 45? What was the 65 doing there in between? And then 45, 32, and then, you know, where do these numbers come from? Why have we gone down this line? Well, I said earlier we should remember that 0.7, because every time you change it by 0.7, because you're talking about area, you know, squared millimeters or squared nanometers, then actually you go down by half. So 90 nanometers times by 0.7 is 63, so we went to 65. Times by 0.7 is 45, so we went to 45. 31 and a half, so we call it 32, and so on and so on. Of course, you can see this most when you're at 10. 10 to 7 is that leap where you can see the 0.7. And now we're going to go from 7 down to 4.9, which is actually 5 nanometers, what we're expecting now in 2020 to appear. Now, one thing, I've mentioned this in another video I've got about Qualcomm's 5 nanometer usage, is that around here, okay, roughly when we had FinFET transistors, then the rules about the dimensions of the transistor, and there are different ways of measuring it, pitch and so on, but basically you can think in terms of, you know, 3D, a width and a length and a height. Basically, they started to change because the design of the transistor changed, and so now that nanometer isn't actually really about the size of the transistor or the size of the gates or the size of the gap between them or whatever the different measurements were, but we're still talking about the fact that when you go from here to here, you can still double the transistor density. And when you go from here to here, you can still double the transistor density. And as new transistor designs come about, these numbers will become even more and more meaningless in terms of the actual physical size of the transistor or the gate, but more and more as an indication of the density relative to these other ones up here. And of course, what comes after nanometers, because, you know, we're getting to 5 nanometers and 3 nanometers and then, so, well, actually, it could be picometers or angstroms. So 14 nanometers is 14,000 picometers, which is 140 angstroms. And then 10 nanometers is 10,000 picometers, which is 100 angstroms. We won't read them all, but when we get down to here, which is where we're going, 3 nanometers is 3,000 picometers. So will it still get called 3 nanometers? Probably. The next one down after that is 2.1. And so that's 2,121 angstroms. Down here, it's certainly going to become interesting because 0.7 nanometers is 700 picometers. That makes much more sense. We could talk about 700 now. You can even talk about it here in 1,000 or 10 angstroms, 7 angstroms. Now, note that angstrom is not a part of the International System of Units. So it isn't, there with nanometers. The next one in SI terms is picometers, but it could be considered part of the general metric system because, of course, it is a factor, decimal factor, of nanometers, in between nanometers and picometers. So now, of course, the big question is when? Well, obviously, we were at 14 nanometers in 2014, 10 nanometers in 2016, 7 nanometers in 2018, 5 nanometers now in 2020. And so you can see there is that two-year trail that we're talking about, Moore's Law. Every 2 years, the transistor density doubles. So if that carries on, then 2022 will be 3 nanometers, 2024 will be 2.1 nanometers, 2026 will be 1.5 nanometers, 2028 will be 1 nanometer or 1,000 picometers, and then 0.7 nanometers, 700 picometers in 2030. Now, of course, this could be, maybe this road is not going to carry on at this same two-year step. Maybe there will be a stumble. Maybe it will take 3 years to go from, let's say, 3 nanometers to 2.1 nanometers. Maybe there'll be a stumble. It'll take 5 years. These are the problems. There's a stumble along the way. Or it could just be that this slows down. So maybe it takes 3 years between here and here, 3 years between here and here. So you kind of accumulate a bit of a debt there in terms of time. So maybe it'll be 2035 or something by the time we get down to 700 picometers. we don't know the future, but this, you can see the historical trend, and that's what Moore's Law is about. It's an observation of an historical trend. But remember that since FinFET, the nanometer isn't related to the actual size of the transistor or the gate. So when we talk about 700 picometers, we're not talking about an actual transistor that's maybe just 3 or 4 atoms wide. We're talking about the relative density compared to previous years. Will it ever end? Well, in terms of transistor count, yes, it must do. Ultimately, it will end because you will get down to atom sizes. You know, a transistor made of one atom, which I've read about, says it's possible. But then what do you do? Get at half an atom? I mean, this is the problem. There will be an end to this. But when? Well, since 1975, 1965, people have been making predictions about that. So that would be foolish to try to make a prediction to say that it's going to happen in at 2 nanometers or at 1.5 nanometers or at 700 picometers. We just don't know. You don't know because you don't know what the next bit of tech that's going to be invented. However, assuming it does happen in terms of transistors, in terms of processing power and performance, will it end? My thinking is no, hopefully not, I'm going to say. Because, of course, we don't know what new techniques are going to come out as we're coming into the age of, for example, machine learning. That changes the dynamic of how we're doing computing, because we're now getting processors that are neural processors, NPUs, and Apple's neural engine, and so on and so on. So as we move more and more away from traditional CPUs to a more heterogeneous setup, CPUs, GPUs, NPUs, who knows what else, then we can see that the different kinds of technology will evolve, will change to deliver more power, but without actually worrying so much about the transistor count. And then, of course, there are other technologies on the horizon. Light, photons, for example, quantum is another one. We really just don't know what's coming round the corner. Okay, that's it. My name's Gary Sims. This is Gary Explained. I really hope you enjoyed this look at Moore's Law. If you enjoyed this video, please do give it a thumbs up. And if you like these kind of videos, why not stick around by subscribing to the channel? Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.